You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. We're talking games and movies and actors.
Words? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
The following episode of the Black Girl Nerds podcast is sponsored by McDonald's. Thank you all for tuning into this special edition of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am going to be moderating an incredible conversation that's going to be not only entertaining, but very informative about anime culture, blurred culture. And I'm here with some distinguished panelists to talk about this. They are subject matter experts in this area. And I'm really, really excited to have this conversation. You guys know me from the podcast. Of course, I'm the founder and creator of Black Girl Nerds. And in my role, I have the opportunity to really shine a light on the impact of diverse people within these subcultural communities, particularly the blurred, the Black nerd community. And I'm here to talk to today's panel and discuss a spotlight on diversity and inclusion within the anime scene, to be specific. We don't talk about anime much on Black Girl Nerds, so I'm really excited about this. And we're going to be focusing on the groundbreaking contributions of blurred culture. Anime has evolved within its cultural origins, and it's become really a global phenomenon with a diverse and passionate fan base. You've seen many new live action shows that have been coming out from anime, some new ones that are coming out soon. So it's really become very popular. And our discussion today highlights the powerful impact of Black anime within this dynamic and ever-expanding space. And we're going to explore the transformative power of representation in anime as well as in cosplay. And over the years, we've witnessed a really big and growing presence within the Black space, within Black creators, cosplayers, fans within the anime community. And we're fortunate to have a panel of, again, these subject matter experts who have played a pivotal role in this environment. So let's meet these insightful individuals who will be sharing their experiences, their perspectives, and their expertise on this topic. First, we have Hilton George, who is the founder of BlurredCon. We have Crystal Chanel, who is a content creator. And we have Marcus Gartrell. He is the chief creative officer of Wyden and Kennedy. Thank you all for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
No problem at all.
Well, I'm really psyched and excited for this discussion. Our listeners and our viewers are equally excited because, again, we don't talk about anime much. So all the anime geeks are just like waiting with bated breath for this conversation. So I want to go ahead and, you know, start with you, Hilton, because you have a lot of expertise in like the history of blurred culture. So can you kind of talk about that and like the historical representation of blurred culture and what that means to the Black community?
Well, there's a certain amount of power in just naming a thing. And while Black nerds have been with us as long as there's been nerddom, giving the name of Black nerd and having that be something that we take on and chest thump about is a fairly recent phenomenon. As a matter of fact, I do a PowerPoint presentation that I take to cons where the first utterance of the term blurred comes from Turk, from my favorite show, Scrubs. And there's like a whole slide where he's got this. And he's probably not even aware of the history making that he did in that scene. But it has been something that we have increasingly took on. And starting in 2015, 16, when we started promoting BlurredCon, it wasn't just about promoting the convention, but it was also about allowing people to identify themselves as Black nerds, as blurreds, and using that term, because the term and the name kind of denotes community. And what we've seen is that with the broadening of the borders of the nerd space through obviously a lot of the MCU movies and Netflix series and the widening accessibility of anime on so many platforms now and easily accessible online in ways that it wasn't before, these cultural norms of nerds being in this little island off by themselves is becoming less and less true. And it's becoming more and more mainstream. So today, you're seeing nerd and blurred influences in music. You're seeing it in sports fashion. You're seeing it in education. You're seeing it in how we design technology, art. It's everywhere. And those of us from the blurred space, we get tickled because we can see it. So it's kind of like having a special pair of glasses, like that movie, They, where you can kind of like see where all the nerd stuff is. So now we're in this world where Black nerds are being represented and community is now being built around these fandoms and around these spaces where internally we're starting to accept the nerds within our own space so that Black nerds do not have to only turn in their cool card. We no longer have to turn in our Black card, right? We often get that opportunity now to be the cool kids, and it's pretty dang nice. I'm happy to see it happen.
And it's an elusive term, right? The term nerd and blurred, like it means different things to different people, because, you know, we think of nerds sometimes, we'll think of like a book nerd, people that just like to read like lots of books, or we think of STEM and like the science and tech aspects of what it is to be a nerd. But then there's also the fandom and the entertaining part where we go to conventions like BlurredCon and we get to, you know, dive into comics and anime and gaming. So I just love the fact that it's just so expansive in that way, that, you know, whatever it is that you're into, you can embrace what it is to be a nerd. And it's something that is a community, and it's fostered these subcultural communities like the blur community, where you can, you know, be accepted in all of these different kind of hobbies and different, you know, kind of events. So it's really cool. I want to toss it over to you, Crystal, because you have explored, you know, the evolution of blurred culture and its significance and how it's intersected with anime. So tell me about how that has evolved and where it is today.
Yeah, so I think when I first started really putting myself out there in the anime space, there wasn't as many creators who were, you know, Black, really putting their insights and their selves out there. And I think it's been really awesome being able to see the evolution of how people are really becoming comfortable enough to put themselves out there, because it was really hard because people would say, oh, for cosplay specifically, you shouldn't cosplay this character because they don't look like you, you know, stuff like that. And so I feel like it was really hindering people from feeling like they had a space in the community. But over time, the more and more people continue to put themselves out there that looked like, you know, the people who weren't really confident, they would be like, oh, I could do this too, or, oh, you know. And so I really appreciate the fact that so many people were, you know, gaining the courage to step into, you know, just a community and be able to show themselves through, you know, this medium that they really, really like. So that's been something I've been loving to see. And I feel like the Black community in anime has become such a force. It's almost like almost a 180 turn. It's been really, really crazy. So it's been awesome to see.
And I want to toss it over to you, Marcus. You know, you have done work with creating a diverse world with McDonald's universe, and I want you to kind of help give us an overview of what that campaign is and how it kind of has this elaborate approach to giving diversity and representation within the McDonald's universe, which I haven't heard of McDonald's, so you've got to explain to us what that's all about.
Yeah, it's been a really fun campaign to work on, and really at the core of every McDonald's campaign we do, they're founded on a fan truth, right? And a fan truth is something that is universal, specific, but it's very like authentic to people, right? And the fan truth that this was kind of built off of was this sort of affinity of a crossover between the McDonald's world and the anime world, right? Because there are so many animes that historically they're still representing McDonald's in their universes. McDonald's is a constant term in a lot of animes that's in over 20-50 titles that exist. So there's an interesting world where there's these fans of McDonald's in these imaginary worlds, right? And what we also love to do is, you know, every campaign we really want to connect with like the youth across the country, and that fan base is really diverse. And when we started on this campaign trail talking about like McDonald's and anime, you could see in the halls of Wyden and Kennedy and throughout all our partner agencies, people were like, oh wait, I love anime. And like, I know this McDonald's world. And I've always seen like the French fries get flipped in anime and they looked incredible. Like the way that anime represents food is always incredibly delectable. And to Hilton's point, like it was an incredible moment for me too, as a Black nerd that grew up loving anime and talking about it when we were in high school and in college and like dorm rooms, to have a room full of people go, oh wait, you also love Naruto and you love Dragon Ball Z and all of this, like this sort of like culture that is a bigger than a subculture now, to see that authenticity that kind of existed in pockets before with McDonald's is one that we all kind of can share and celebrate. And the journey of that too, not only is that level of like fandom kind of a subculture that gets larger in the space of anime as well, like diversity is something that the genre continues to evolve with. Like, I think it was beautiful that we all kind of felt a sense of connection to anime when we were younger, even if there weren't as many characters that look like all of us. And there's still more work being done in the anime space where we do have a lot more stories that include more diverse talent beyond just the Japanese world. So for us, when we got to McDonald's, knowing that our fans were truly into this space, but also continue to yearn for more representation in this space, we felt it was important for us to represent the fans of McDonald's and the McDonald's world in a way that it was a bit more expansive and inclusive when we made that content.
What is it about food and anime? It just seems like there's like a story within a story there. We actually did an article on Black Girl Nerds about like some of the best anime that have like food in it. And it just seems like there's so many like great choices of different kinds of, you know, delicacies and meals and stuff that you see in anime. And it's just so colorful and just extravagant looking. So I don't know. I just wanted to ask that just like as an
art. It is an art. There's an art to the representation of food. I guess it's such an interesting thing because the culture loves food so much, like in Japan, that when you get to the art of making it in an anime, you really want to romanticize like creation of this food and make it really like desirable. So it's fun for McDonald's to represent their food in that style, because just as beautiful and delicious as a McNuggets look in the real world, the Wick Nuggets in the McDonald's world look equally like desirable.
I want to go back to you, Hilton. Could you share your insights on like the evolving landscape of blurred culture? And because you mentioned, you know, back with Donald Faison's character in Scrubs, when you first heard the term blurred, I remember that as well. So that term has evolved so much since back when he first said it on that show till now. What was your insights about blur culture? How have you seen it manifest since then within anime and then also within the cosplay space?
You know, it's funny, the blurred culture has evolved both internally within the Black community, because remember, the Black community is a niche market, but then the Black nerd community is a niche within a niche, right? So there's two levels of marketing and two levels of interaction that are taking place as the community begins to crystallize and mature upon itself. When we started BlurredCon, the first year that we had it, people weren't really sure how to gather or what it would look like or how it would feel, right? And we've been able to kind of take our cues from the community to kind of build a space that just lines the walls and allows people to create their own experiences and steer the direction of the con. But what I'm starting to see, and I think this would be a success of the convention if you want to extend it that far, is that Black nerds are starting to gather in non-Black spaces. So when I go to white-run conventions, there are Black nerd meetups, or there's Black anime meetups, or Black cosplay meetups, Black events, Black after parties. So even in spaces that aren't specifically designated for us, we have come full circle enough as a community where we feel comfortable coming together, even in these spaces where there might be 60, 70, 80,000 people. There's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 of us that are willing to come together and party and take pictures and hang out. And I think that's a really, really great progress mark from what you look back in the 80s, where nerd was something to be persecuted. I mean, how many Revenge of the Nerds movies did they make? It was predicated primarily on nerd torture and persecution, to now where You know, almost everything that we were doing maybe 10, 20 years ago would have gotten us laughed at or bullied is now a fashion item. You know, I wear stuff and I wear clothes that have anime logos and things on it, and people stop me in the mall. They stop me in the grocery store. And that was never the case. I've got two young nephews that are coming up at age 6 and 11 whose relationship to the term nerd is completely different from my experience. It's not a negative thing. It's a chest-thumping thing. They run around wearing Mario and Luigi clothes when they go out, and they talk incessantly about video games, and it's not weird to them. And I think that's the progress that we're laying out for the next generation of blurbs. Cosplay is really a special barometer because it is the most distilled fandom there is. You cannot be more of a fan of a character than to actually dress and to portray that character on your person. And just like Crystal said, we came so far from not having characters that were designated for us as Black and Brown that we had to kind of, you know, retcon and kind of fight our way into these spaces with cosplays that weren't Black and people having to argue and fight with us about that Blackness and our expression through it. But what's happening now in cosplay is that it's not about accuracy. It's not about portraying exactly what's on the screen or on the page in the costume. It's about expressing your fandom. So there's a certain amount of stuff that goes into a cosplay that is designated for the character. But you might have a Loki that is all, you know, accurate, but then you use your dreads to make the horns. You know, we're expressing ourselves through our fandom in a way that is unique to us and no other culture is doing. And it's really exciting to see how when we get behind something, when we back something in the nerd space, it's just that much more successful. Nerd space is the new hip hop. Where the Black stamp goes, success follows. And we're just starting to realize that power now, and there's so much potential going forward because of it.
That's funny. That was, if I could, because there's some that a lot of incredible points in there, and it reminded me of a thesis that a friend of mine had in like 2007-ish, where she said that Steve Urkel is the grandfather of Kanye West. And like to your point about the 80s, it's like in the 80s, the nerds were like always beat up. And then you kind of get Family Matters and get Steve Urkel in the first couple seasons. He is a nerd that's a pest. And then by like as the show progresses, he's the star of the show. And you've given this nerd the spotlight. And then in that context, then you get an evolution of hip hop where hip hop is now inherently, you know, the De La Souls have now gone commercial by becoming the Kanye West, and then now you have people like the Donald Glovers and the Tylers who are inherently different and like not the mainstream version of cool, but now you have
you can say weird. We can embrace weird.
Yeah, 100%.
Weird is awesome.
Yeah.
You can take
weird. I'll take it. Yeah, and Megan Thee Stallion is like, I'm cool, but guess what? I love anime. And we're like, oh wait, anime is also cool. Like all of the things are now conflated because that, to your point, that sort of love and identity that exists that we find within these spaces inherently make who we are more rich people. And that sort of richness is now inherently cool because it's your passion and your spin on it because you feel so confident and comfortable in it.
And you're so right about that. Like I think about back in 2012 when I created Black Girl Nerds and the term blurred. As a matter of fact, our very first podcast, which was actually in March of 2013, our very first episode was, what does the term blurred mean to you? And it was controversial because blurred was still kind of new in our subcultural space. And some people didn't embrace the term. They thought it was a little divisive. They're like, I don't want to be called a blurred. Like, I'm just a nerd. I don't want to be seen as different. But then other people loved the term because it was a way for us to find each other. It was a way for us to create these subcultural communities where we can do things like where we can cosplay and have the Loki with the dreads. I mean, Loki wasn't like really popular back then, but you know, the movie or the character from the movies. But you know, like it was something that was very important for us to be able to find those ties that bind us together. So I love how the term has evolved to where also people have created brands around it. People have created convention spaces, BlurredCon. I love that because that's really important. At the end of the day, it's about community. It's about building relationships, us finding each other, us growing. And it's just amazing to see from back then until now how the landscape has changed and how that's grown. Crystal, to you, I mean, going back to anime and the intersection of anime with blurred culture, in what ways has anime served as a platform for cultural expression and representation within the Black community? Because that's been a bit of a controversial thing too within the blurred community, I would say, like at least in the early years.
I would say for me, seeing how anime has been able to express, you know, culture and everything, I think it's just like another outlet of how you do it, especially like with cosplay. When Hilton was saying earlier, being able to incorporate, you know, your uniqueness and your culture into these cosplays, it shows a different way of how I show my love for anime, right? And I think it's so interesting then in comparison to other, you know, facets or aspects of the anime community specifically. It's, and I've noticed this difference where I'm like, it's so distinct on how we show, you know, our love for it. And it's so interesting. And I don't know, I feel like I might not be as up to date on the controversy. So please let me know so I can readily speak on it.
I will add this controversy to you because it's a recent one that we had posted. And maybe you guys can all answer this question about the character from Dragon Ball Z, Piccolo. Is Piccolo Black?
Oh, that conversation. Okay, yeah. You know what's so funny? I had a whole conversation about this also where I was like, I feel like if you just get the vibe, shouldn't that be enough like to call this character Black? You know what I mean? But of course, there are people who say, no, this, that. But I feel like, me personally, I don't see a problem with if you see a character and you just feel a connection, you just feel like they give off something that relates to you. They're Black in my book. I don't know. I personally don't see a problem with it. I think it's all lighthearted, all in good fun. There's nothing necessarily or inherently wrong with saying it. I think it's hilarious, honestly. Like, oh, that's my little Black son over there. That's not, you know what I mean? I think it's hilarious.
And just for the listeners and for those of you watching, Piccolo is actually like an alien with green skin. So there are fans that are like, no, he's not Black, but a lot of the blurred community has embraced him as a Black character because there's traits about him and his origin story is kind of rooted in Black culture. So many of us have embraced him as being coded as Black. Hilton, Marcus,
I have a lot to say about this. I think there's something very unique and special about the Black community. Because let's not forget, the blurred community is still the Black community. We have all of the traits of the Black community, but with these extra things that we have in the nerd space. And Black people in the Black community claim stuff. We claim stuff for absolutely no reason whatsoever, and we make it our own. Now, I'm not just saying this because this is McDonald's sponsored, but McDonald's Sprite is a Black drink. Sprite didn't do a campaign for this. McDonald's didn't do a campaign for this. We woke up one day and said McDonald's Sprite is the best drink to have with anything, and it hits like an infinity stone when you drink it. And Piccolo is another one of those things where it just kind of hits you in the 23andMe. Only the Black people get it. Your white friends need the explanation. They need a little bit of the background to get in on the joke. But we understand when a Black person who watches anime says to another Black person that Piccolo is Black, you may get disagreement, but you won't get disagreement, right? You might get a little bit of a pushback, but it won't be you're definitely wrong, because we understand, you know, the things that resonate with us. And anytime we can do that organically, anytime we can come together and make a decision that something or someone is invited to the air quotes cookout, we really, really buy into it. And it doesn't have to have a marketing campaign. It doesn't have to have anything else attached to it. It's just ours. We take it and we run with it.
I appreciate the McDonald's Sprite plug. We'll start with that. Thank you for that. Incredible. It's really interesting because growing up watching Dragon Ball Z, I think that, yes, there was inherently a point where it did feel like Piccolo was Black to me, just as a person watching it. And then to your point, the discourse that kind of surrounds that has become so much larger. But what What's really cool about that, and I think what's cool about the fans of anime, is that there's an ability to kind of like find yourself within it. And to Hilton's point, there is a lot of that that is a part of what the Black community sees, but it's beautiful to kind of watch a show that is really this world of escapism, and it's built around like a thing you're not going to do on a day-to-day basis, but still find a way to relate to the characters in it and to kind of see yourself in it. And that ultimately weirdly connects back to all of our themes, where how does the space continue to grow to let us feel like we are a part of the society that exists around anime, even though it's one starting point. Watching the show when you were younger, you saw a green guy from planet Namek and you were like, well, that guy's Black. I've never been to Namek, but I assume either all the people there are Black or Piccolo is just one of the Black ones on Namek. But now I feel a connection to this content, and that level of like an audience identifying and seeing themselves in a piece of content is really powerful and impactful, because it creates this sort of sense of inclusivity within it.
Can I just say, sorry, real quick, my favorite thing about the whole Piccolo thing is, since he has a head wrap, there have been edits where people would, like, he takes off his head wrap and he's got waves, and I just think that's so funny, and it just solidifies. I just want to say that. I thought that's so funny. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Wait, are we saying he doesn't have waves? I thought that was canon. We can talk offline.
I appreciate you guys entertaining the Piccolo question, because it's been a hot debate. We recently posted an image of, you know, our favorite Black animated characters, and we're like, yeah, we're going to include Piccolo in that. For us, he's Black. But Marcus, I want to piggyback off of, you know, the conversation that we had earlier broadly about the McDonald's campaign, and also how they're breaking into the anime space. Can you provide insights more about McDonald's and how they've incorporated the diversity in its series and campaign, and how it contributes overall to the narrative about representation within the McDonald's universe?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everything we've done for the last several years is just an acknowledgement and awareness that we really wanted to connect with, like, the young adults of the society that we exist in. And those young adults are inherently more diverse. So knowing that not only who we're talking to, but the customers that come into our stores or the people that work on the crew or franchise owners are a very rich and diverse swath of people in the United States and around the globe, there's this sense of an awareness that we need to create spaces for them to feel seen in. And I think with every campaign, every time we look at it, and this is not only what Wieden and Kennedy does, but all of our partner agencies, we really do investigate how much this sort of very authentic small truth that we're getting to does relate sort of universally across different segments. So the cool thing about when we look at this work, knowing that we were creating this expansive universe where we really wanted to bring, you know, the anime world of McDonald's into the real world of a McDonald's. So when you walk in, you kind of feel like you've entered into this McDonald's universe. Now that universe will be incredibly large. So within that universe, there will be characters who are fans of McDonald's that just want to get their hands on the McNuggets and the McDonald's sauce. Those fans, it's an opportunity for us to look at, all right, that fan base is going to be a very diverse group of people. If we're going to have a bunch of characters that are going to be the crew members that work at McDonald's, this is another opportunity for us to really reflect on the world that is around us. So, you know, for us to go from us seeing Piccolo as a character that we are inherently trying to see ourselves within to a space where we can create this McDonald's universe and intentionally think about who are the people we're trying to talk to, who are the people that would inherently, in a real authentic world of McDonald's, if we reflect that to the anime world, the crew members is an opportunity for us to look at how we can be more diverse. The people that come in the stores to have these sort of stories we're telling around the experience and the experiences that we're relating back to them can be opportunities for us to let people see themselves, but also like really see themselves and not just the emotions, but in the characters that are part of this campaign, which was really exciting for all of us.
So exciting. I love it. I love it. Absolutely all of it. Hilton, over to you. You are the founder, as I mentioned at the top of the show, of BlurCon. So what inspired you to create BlurCon, and how has it contributed to the growth and recognition within the Black community?
I have been a blurred my entire life, and I got back into the nerd space, i.e. conventions, 2013 and 14. I had way too much disposable income and free time to be allowed to do such a thing as a cosplayer. So I was going to all of these conventions. I just went con crazy. I was going to New York and Boston, and I was going down to Atlanta and Charlotte and North Carolina and Virginia, just going to these conventions, doing cosplay, having a good time. And it really stood out to me that there were so many Black people at these events. They weren't crystallized in groups. They weren't clumped. But if you can stand above a crowd, like you might be able to do at the Georgia World Congress Center or maybe the Jacob Javits Center, and look down on the crowd, you can see the population of us participating and being in the fandom. And then I try to look over and see, well, where are the Black guests for this 20% or 30% or whatever the number is of Black people in attendance of this huge con? I couldn't find any. And I said, well, let me look at the panel list. And, you know, there was never any panelists or panel subject matter that related to the Black experience or the Black nerd experience. There would be the obligatory, diversity panel, but then you just really depended on who showed up and what subject matter they decided to talk about. It could just completely not touch the Black space. And I said to myself, you know, it'd be really cool if there was a convention that focused on Black nerd fandom and contribution and, you know, the nerd space that is occupied and fed with Black culture and Black people. And with no sense of self-preservation, I went in and, you know, went in and started putting this together and started assembling a team. And we took about 2 years of kind of planning and getting everything together. But the thing that really stood out to me is as we were promoting the convention, you know, and people were projecting onto the convention their highest ideals of what a BlurredCon would be, we were not projecting back out because we hadn't had the convention yet. So letting the Black nerds into a space and then letting them slowly begin to shape it, and then seeing those hallmarks in other events and other parties and other cons and other community spaces is really the evolution of the Black nerd community. I'm a steward. I didn't invent the term. I didn't invent the community. It was there before me. It'll be there long after I'm gone. What I'm hoping to have happen is seeing that Black nerds are starting to feel comfortable expressing themselves, not just in Black spaces, because that's very, very important, but anywhere. I don't care if there's five Black nerds and a con in Ames, Iowa. I want those five Black nerds to get together and do a shoot, do a meetup, a high five ahead. Now, I don't care. Whatever it is they do, I want them to acknowledge their Black nerddom, even in a space that's not designated for them. And we're seeing more and more and more of that. Now, what's happening is, because I mentor a group out of Bowie State called the New Blurred Order, which is a Black nerd group at a Black college, there are over 500 members of this nerd group. It just blows my mind to think that we have gotten to that space. Me as an HBCU graduate, the environment that I came through in the early 2000s, to seeing this now where there are gaming tournaments and huge debates about things like anime and tabletop gaming, sci-fi and fantasy. And there's not just Black men, but Black women who are in these spaces, right? And having robust discussions and talking about, you know, everything from trauma to, you know, preference of cons and things like that really, really stands out to me as where we are. That's the barometer, because they're going to be the ones, as soon as they graduate, they're going to have disposable income. They're going to go out into these con spaces. They're going to be empowered. They're going to be shaping these con spaces. And now you're starting to see non-Black nerd conventions calling upon us at BlurredCon to try and figure out strategies so that they can accommodate the Black nerds in their own midst, even if they don't have the institutional or organizational DNA to do so with what they might think is authenticity. I'll say, look, we're already doing it. I already got the panels. I already got the cosplayers. Anything you want, I will forward spreadsheets. We'll make it happen, because it just expands the stage for Black nerddom, and we're happy to do it. And the fact that even the non-Black nerd spaces are starting to recognize the need, starting to recognize the value of the Black dollar and the Black patronage, I think is a huge evolution for us as a people in this nerd space that for so long has not necessarily been for us. And now it's starting to not just be for us, but by us.
I love it. I mean, and you see so much representation at these conventions. You see Black comic book creators. I mean, of course, you see the cosplayers out there, but you see, you know, a lot of entertainers within the space. You see authors out there. I just love that it's created an ecosystem for entrepreneurs to get their work and their art out there at these conventions. So it's lovely to see just how much it's evolved and people, again, feeling very included in this space and feeling safe within that space. And going into the inclusion conversation, I want to toss it over to you, Crystal. I mean, do you feel like in your experience, being a part of the Blurred community, has it influenced and shaped your perceptions of anime and cosplay? And has it made you feel like, you know, more inclusive in that space?
I would say for cosplay, definitely. There has definitely been cosplays where I've done like Raven or I've done Sakura and I did like pink braids or like purple dreads or something like that, right? But it would be also based off of Black artists' interpretations of these characters, right? So being able to see how other people interpret them and be like, I like that. That feels like me. And then cosplay this character, still knowing this character is a part of a series I really like, but now it's more, in a sense, personal, or, you know, it more fits my vibe or whatever, right? I really like that. And just in general, I feel like just seeing how people show their enthusiasm just really makes me want to be my authentic self when I show how I love anime and not really feel like to love and to appreciate anime is only one road, because everyone is so different and so diverse that there's so many different ways to be able to show appreciation for something. So the more and more I see people showing, you know, their authenticity through how they love this genre, I'm just like, me too. Like, let's all do it. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that's how it's really inspired me to just, you know, be courageous, don't care, do whatever you want, life is short kind of thing.
This is a question I'd love for all of you to answer. In your opinion, what steps can be taken to further promote diversity and inclusion within the anime, manga, and cosplay communities? And those are, I mean, even though these are, you know, communities that we all are fans of and that we're all in, they're very different communities.
Very much so. Very much so. I'll go first. I think it is the recognition of the spending and dollar power of the Black nerd community has to come first. And let me explain. I think I speak for probably any number of the Black community when we say we appreciate when there is a heartfelt outreach or there is some reaction to, you know, a social injustice that spurs companies to go into, you know, this outreach mode and you know, and try to connect with our community. But headlines pass, you know, trends and discussions move on. I think at the end of the day, companies and brands need to understand that there is an actual, you know, customer base that, you know, needs to be recognized or needs to be acknowledged in order for, you know, best business practices. I mean, think about it. Black Panther, if it hadn't made $1 billion, you know, who knows what the next set of movies there. I don't think there would have been a Woman King. I don't think that we would have had, you know, any number of these follow up Black superheroes or Black fantasy movies when people didn't see, like, oh, my God, you know, a Black movie set in a fictional African country can make $1 billion globally in 1 month. You know, there is something to be said about that. There is a strategy that is built around it that is not, you know, influenced by, you know, trends or headlines or hashtags, because if the studio knows what makes money, it's the what makes sense. And that's where you have that structural DEI that comes into place. You see this with Disney, you know, you saw it a lot with Warner Brothers, you saw it with HBO, which is now under Warner Brothers, where there were these very deliberate, you know, titles and programs that were put out there that recognized us and highlighted us, writers, directors, producers, actors, that got the buy-in of the community. And I'll say this, Black stuff and the things that Black people like are seen as inherently cool. We didn't spend $1 billion of Black money to put, you know, Black Panther over the top. We put that first $350 million in, and then it went to China, and China said, what are all these Black people doing? Like, let's go and spend our money there. Let's find out what's going on, because just like hip-hop, just like fashion, And just like music and just like, you know, every other thing that we do well that sets a trend, we are now seeing that role taken on in the fantasy, sci-fi, anime space. And if we can get that recognition and then get that participation, it'll be permanent, it will grow, it won't be a fad, and it'll be something that'll be written into the script and it'll be there forever.
I think I'll say one of the biggest things for me, I think, is understanding, especially if it's something that you have no idea anything about, kind of towards what Hilton was saying, when companies, you know, try and approach, you know, these Black communities, do you truly have an understanding of our culture, or are you just trying to profit off of us? You know what I mean? And I think it really sets a tone when companies really try to do their work to understand us, and then show through the media and have these Black writers, have these Black artists, have people really involved in the project to make it really truly feel like it is something that is made for us, you know? And I think just within the community also, how there are so many different people, just try to understand, you know, your fellow nerd, your fellow, you know, geek anime fan, you know, it really helps the community, I think, come together.
Yeah, it's, I think both points are incredibly like important, and they're actually really tied to, I think, even the space that we occupy within it right now. Like for us as an ad agency that's working with McDonald's trying to make an anime world for our fans, right, there was a level of us being able to want to make something very authentic, and like within that space we knew that we couldn't make an anime just as anime fans without actually going to the source of where anime and mangas have come from. So for us to go work at Studio Pierrot to make sure that we're making content that is actually from the foundation of where this culturally came from, but using that sort of connection point to be able to show that the fan base and the world that can be created is even larger than I think the one that we all fell in love with as fans. Like that's a level of authenticity to and respect to where the art came from, but an acknowledgement of the evolution of not only the fan base, but the people that find the ability to want to create and write and make all of these mangas and animes within this space. So that sort of same level of like how we saw animes when we were younger and all these things were coming from Japan and they were always coming to America dubbed, and we wanted to watch the dub versions instead of the sub versions instead of the dub versions. We were authentic to the Japanese experience. Like we saw ourselves within that work, and then we wanted to kind of put our own spin on it, and that ability to respect art as it was, but evolve it in a space that that allowed for more inclusivity to create this new world. Again, to Hilton's earlier points, like every generation kind of expands from the blurred of 2015 to the blurred of 2024 to the blurred of 2050. It'll just be a more expansive world the more that we A, respect the place that it came from, but then allow ourselves to be included in this thing. So, you know, we really did love that opportunity for ourselves to let the fans of this genre see a world that was a little bit more inclusive than the world that they grew up with 20 years ago. And if that sort of continues to be the case, then we'll be in a much brighter space than we were in the 90s.
Yes, indeed. And I love that we're hearing more creators having their own studios, like Black-owned anime studios and such, that's forming and happening now. So that's good to hear as this as blurred culture evolves and grows and expands. So after hearing Marcus's sentiments about this, my question to both Crystal and Hilton, what do you think McDonald's, you know, featuring anime in their McDonald's launch, what do you think about just that idea of them featuring anime, and how do you think it will affect the blur community and its importance on Black culture?
Well, I got to say, you know, we're already fans of McDonald's. You know, we're already spending our dollars there. Just like I said, we already adopted the Sprite. The McDonald's Sprite is already it's a total meme with us. And it's really nice to see that, you know, a major brand like McDonald's is going to come in and recognize, you know, this community that has already recognized them. You know, we're in the tent. You know, you had us at hello. You know what I mean? So it's really, really cool to see that, you know, this is being created and generated and meticulously put together to tell stories and create characters that will reflect us, you know, and to kind of bring the brand full circle so that we don't have to just get hungry about McDonald's when we watch anime. We actually have like a campaign that steers into getting us into the restaurant, because quite frankly, we eat a lot of McDonald's.
I feel some type of way seeing the McDonald's fries in anime form, because I'm already addicted to McDonald's fries as it is. So seeing that is like, really, y'all? Really? But yeah. What about you, Crystal?
I'll just say, when Marcus was explaining earlier how seeing customers come into the restaurant or restaurant store, McDonald's in general, really influences a lot of the way that they handle the anime. I think that is what is just so important about any anime that's being produced. How does it follow reality? What aspects of reality are being put into this world that is, you know, not reality, and how can people, you know, relate to it and stuff like that? So being, having it based off of like real interactions that people have is just, I think it's going to, one, make people feel like they can relate to it, and two, you know, really the relative, how do I say this word? That's not a word.
Relativity.
Yeah, that word specifically. I don't know. I think that's what draws people towards anime. So to be able to, you know, really find foundation in your community and the people who surround your company is, I think, a great service.
Awesome. So as we get ready to wrap, I wanted to, you know, find out from you guys, you know, how can collaborations like what we've done here with this incredible roundtable discussion, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. I mean, we've talked about a lot. We talked about, is Piccolo Black? We've decided he is. And also, you know, the great work that McDonald's is doing with intersecting anime, and also talking about blurred culture and even the word blurred and how that's evolved from back in 2012 and back in the days when we was watching Scrubs and we first heard that term till now. And also with respect to anime and how that's been intersected into blurred culture, and being able to feel comfortable as a cosplayer, being able to go to conventions and seeing so many of us in these spaces. So I really love how we've been able to foster this conversation today. I mean, how can these collaborations and discussions continue to amplify and celebrate Black voices in the community and within the world of anime culture? Because I feel like, you know, I should ask you, do you feel like that it's still a space where all of us are being represented? And do you feel like we still need to have more of these discussions to foster a larger community for blurreds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the key of it to me, which is just a sort of societal shift and one that maybe we all felt as we created this campaign, was this idea that like we come from a time where there was sort of a more of a mass cultural approach, but in reality, it's a society of a bunch of subcultures that have a bunch of different passions, and sort of putting those spotlights on those subcultures and letting the people within those subcultures know that it's a lot larger than I think you thought it was. Like, you're part of a bigger thing, and it is so nice to be in a society now where it's easier for people to kind of find those communities that are like, you guys are like me and I love this thing. So the fact that you do too, the fact that we can kind of, I think, more quickly evolve all of those sort of subcultures to allow representation to exist more within them, like that, continuing to spotlight these sort of passion points and let people not only feel like what they are into is of value, but that they do belong in that space and that they can inherently then affect it, to Crystal's point about having more sort of studios that are making this content, people who are artists that are reinterpreting animes, like having a bigger community around that is the way to keep this ball rolling to pushing the whole thing forward.
And then to that point, I would say that I feel like definitely continuing the conversations and really having Black voices in these spaces is so important, because to also Hilton's point earlier when he was saying like the generations that are coming up, when they see that there are more people like them being represented, that just gives them the courage to want to live and explore their passions more just realistically to themselves, you know? And I think amplifying, you know, Black people who are working in these certain spaces, from artists to cosplayers to this and this and this and this, it's just to see the representation is just so inspiring. To just know, if you see someone working with a company for something nerd related, you're just like, wow, like, look at this person doing something that I think is so cool. This just makes me feel like anything I want is possible, you know? So I think things like that is just so important, especially for the generations coming up, so they can really feel like a strength inside themselves for anything that they like to do, or anything at all, really.
Absolutely. I really believe that brands like McDonald's, and specifically McDonald's, proctoring discussions like this, bringing this diverse panel together, is a really great start. But, you know, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of conventions that happen throughout the country where, you know, these kinds of discussions are taking place. There are, you know, communities that are being built around fandoms and around localities and regions and, you know, you name it. Anywhere we go, we are building community as part of not just our interpersonal connection, but it's also part of our business model. You know, and I don't think that a McDonald's is too big to participate in that. You know, the idea that Black people, we don't buy abstract and we do not subscribe abstract. You know, Jamie Broadnax is the face of Black Girl Nerds. I don't think that we could just have the logo and then just accept that this was going to be something that people would go into without connecting to her, without knowing who she is. And McDonald's can do the same thing with Marcus. Marcus is the face, ostensibly, of McDonald's in this discussion. And there are more voices like his and people who are creating and generating opportunities and venues for discussion that we could bring into the fold. And I think that in-person discussion piece, you know, we'd love to have you at BlurCon come and do some really cool stuff. There's actually McDonald's like across the street. And I get hungry and I can never get over there. So there's like got to be some way to wrap that in just for my own personal dietary need. But the cool thing is that you're already doing it. And, you know, with this initiative, the success that you see and the faces and the voices that you have allowed a platform to speak is the key to bringing and building around your brand, community, buy-in, and empowerment that really is what we're all looking for, not just personally, but for our creativity, our art, you know, and everything that we do in the nerd space. So Blurds are with you. Meet us where we are, and we'll follow you home. We're really happy to work with you and have you be a part of our community and be a part of the discussion. So thanks for that.
Hilton, I love the shameless plug. Love to see it. Well, I really appreciate this discussion. I want to thank each of you, Hilton, Crystal, Marcus, for just your words of wisdom, the gems that you dropped during this discussion. I learned a lot. I really just loved hearing all of your thoughts and your perspectives on what blurred culture means to you, what anime means to you, Marcus, what McDonald's is doing with this campaign. Before we officially end this discussion, I do want to give each of you the opportunity to plug any projects that you're currently working on, where we can find you, where our listeners and our viewers can find you. And yeah, because I want us to kind of keep the conversation going. So I'm sure that in the future, we can possibly hopefully have more of these conversations. But if not, you know, where they can find out more about what you guys are up to. So we'll start with Hilton, Crystal, and then Marcus.
Well, BlurredCon is coming up on its seventh year. You know, we have been growing incrementally every year growing forward. We're in the Hyatt Regency Crystal City, which is right in the nape of Washington, D.C., for anyone who's not familiar with the area. It's not just a Black space. It's a Black nerd space. And we superimpose the Black experience any way we can over that nerd space with things like spades tournaments and, you know, food and music. And, you know, we even have a barbershop. You know, we really want to make sure that this experience is something that is unique. And so if you're coming out, the next event is July 12th through 14th. You can find us online, as you can see here, at blurredcon.com, or put BlurredCon into any of the social media windows, and it will come straight to our accounts. That's Facebook, X, Instagram, even TikTok. So we'd love to have you. We'd love to see you. And, you know, we're expecting a really, really great crowd this year. And we're hoping that you, the people who are listening to this, and you who are sponsoring this, will be a part of it. And we're really looking forward to this July for the Black Nerd Convention.
Hi, my name is Crystal. You can find me on social media at Crystal Chanel. But I also have a podcast called Between the Storylines, where I like to, you know, take stories and dive deeper and see like any philosophical or psychological things that could, you know, also be parallel to, you know, reality and stuff like that. So I just love talking about anything story related at all. And yeah, I'm happy I was able to speak about, you know, my experience and really figuring out what's going on in us community, you know? So it's been really, really cool. So I appreciate the opportunity.
First off, I want to say from personal space, I just want to acknowledge that, like, to Hilton's point about the power of the blurred, like, I love that this conversation exists because it shows you the blurreds on all sides of this universe, you know? Like, there's an ability to be a fan of it. There's an ability to be someone who's creating spaces for those blurreds to convene. There's an ability to be a media person that gives a space for blurreds to hear about blurred culture. And there's the ability to be on the end of it where we're helping to create a little bit of a world where people can see more of themselves in this blurred universe, you know? And with that, when it comes to that creation, the thing that we'll plug is that McDonald's is coming to McDonald's. The campaign will be launching. You'll be able to go experience what the McDonald's universe is all about in a McDonald's very soon. And we hope that you guys will join us and not only feel seen, but feel like you're having a great time with the content that we made for you and the experience that we give you at McDonald's. So I really appreciate the time with you guys letting us just have this dialogue around blurred culture.
And don't forget the chili sauce. We got a chili sauce coming, don't we?
Got a McDonald's sauce. So you gotta go in.
Now I gotta go.
Get your McNuggets, get your McDonald's sauce. Enjoy the entire experience. If you want to post about it, we won't be mad if you post about it. If you tell a friend, we'll welcome all of your blurred friends. If your friends aren't blurred, we'll take any form of nerd that you bring to this restaurant.
Well, thank you so much, you guys, for, again, this incredible discussion. For those, we are actually streaming this on our YouTube site, and then this will also be on the podcast. So be sure to subscribe, hit the notification bell if you're watching us on YouTube, and our podcast drops on Mondays each week. So tune into that. Blackgirlnerds.com is our website. We will have content that will be following up on this discussion. So stay tuned to that as well. And thank you so much, guys, for checking us out and listening to this show. Be sure to share it with all of your friends, your family members, when you go to BlurredCon, your conventions, your anime groups, when you go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
share this episode and let them know about it, because this is some really exciting stuff. And this is some exciting times that we're in right now. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Better shake your booties for black girl nerves.